Hey guys, welcome to the Strickland Mailbag, episode 62, I think it is. We'll figure that out later. I'm Drew, aka Doug, with me today to answer all your very, very fun questions is the one and only Tyrese from the Strickland. Tyrese, how's it going?
It's going good, it's going good. I'm apparently in high demand this weekend.
Press you
called me. Calling me.
See, I was about to go on by myself and just do this because no one was going to, because no one was joining.
Oh, did I mute myself accidentally? I had a good bit too. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Hey, how's it going? I'm just in high demand this week because press called me to do Draft Strickland.
I like that you're repeating this. This is amazing.
Wait, I actually am repeating it? Holy
yeah.
crap. Yep. Today's just not my day. Do you want to just restart?
Nope, we're keeping this in. This is how we're entering the mailbag.
was that
introduction.
But before we get started, I do have to make an announcement that the Strickland has a Patreon. You can subscribe to it. There's a number of tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland every Friday. This pod right here that I do with Prez, even though this is going to be coming out on like a Wednesday. Who cares? Yeah, you get access to this pod every week. You also get access to the mailbag hosted by Drew Steele, that also comes out every other week. Excellent, excellent mailbag. Maybe most importantly, you get access to the Strickland Discord where the conversation never stops. It certainly hasn't stopped today for reasons we will discuss as we get into the pod. There's a further tier. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, my solo pod, where I rant, yell, and rave about the Knicks even more. You also get access to wonderful weekly articles by Jack Huntley and Matthew Miranda, two of the absolute best in the business. There's further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. Those come with a variety of additional benefits like live watch parties, merchandise discounts, listening in on pod recordings, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly. Whether you choose to subscribe or not, none of this would be possible without you. So, without further ado, let's get started.
We're jumping right into it. You ready? Old Terra asks, since Murray's contract is about $10 million less than the proposed offer for Brunson, does that mean the Knicks would have $10 million more to spend in free agency if they do go after DeJounte, or do CBA machinations prevent that? Tyrese, are you a cap expert? Did you do the research before this?
I understand some of the cap, and if they're clearing cap space, if they traded Murray into cap space, which probably would happen given the deal, they would have $10 million more to spend in free agency, but $10 million doesn't get you anything in free agency. So, it's just kind of pointless.
So, the whole point to getting Brunson, because right now, because I looked this on Spotrac, and then I know a cap nerd will probably correct me in the Discord. If I am wrong, obviously, correct me in the Discord. They're going to have about like $3 million if they, when they've renounced their draft right thing, their like their draft pick rights, and then Ryan Arcidiacono or whatever his name is. So they're going to keep Mitch's rights because they'll have Bird rights in case they want to re-sign him. So they'll have like $3 million in space. So they still would need to like shed money. Like they still need to trade out. And that's the whole point of getting Brunson, right? They're trying to shed the cap space to put just sign him straight up. Right. Into it, so there isn't going to be a sign. They're trying to prevent the sign and trade because the Mavs are going to try to be like, oh, you have to do a signing trade with us, so like we want all this stuff, and the Knicks are just trying to avoid that and just get like, it would be great if they could just like dump Fournier back in Orlando and get into their cap space.
I mean, if anything, they'll probably just dump Brooks into like the Boston TPE and like, get the space to sign them out, right? So
yeah, like they're gonna make it. I think that's what the Mavs are truly don't understand is like the Knicks are gonna do this and it's gonna happen.
Like literally all they could do, like they could trade Noel to like, I talked about it with press, like they could trade Noel to like Toronto for Ken Burch and you shave $3 million off there. You could trade Rose back to Chicago for like Kobe White, you shave $7 million off. Like they can shave off money just like salary cutting and not even dumping.
Right.
So like they don't need the Mavericks. The Mavericks need them for TP.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like, they need to do that, and they need to figure it out because they also have that issue. Because I just read this over because someone from the one of the Mavs websites mentioned that you saw how Brunson technically his thing is only going to be $10 million for them, right?
You mean sign and trade?
Yeah, for the sign-in trade, right? So if he's signing for like 20, then it's 10. If it's signing, if he's signing for 24, it's 12.
Yeah, it's like 50% of the new number that you made.
Yeah, so it's like they're just so screwed. Like if the Knicks, like say the Knicks really do something as simple as like dump Fournier to the Magic, just hypothetically, they can sign Brunson then to an average, right? That comes out, that'd be like 22, 23. Brunson agrees to that, and then the Mavs are like, fuck. Like, what the hell do we do? It's like, if you want, you can have Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, like, basically, we were like, we'll throw Nerlens Noel into your TPE, and, like,
have
you you'll give us seconds, because we're giving you a TPE in the first place. So, yeah.
Like, they're screwed.
And it's beautiful, because every time the Mavericks lose, it's a win for America.
It really is. It's wonderful, like, and they're treating it like it's nothing. It's like, you can sit here and talk about, like, Brunson's limitations or whatever. Good luck finding a replacement someone as good as him. You're not. Like, you're just letting you're not finding it.
Like, you're telling me that you don't find 60 true shooting guards who, like, have elite mid-range shooting, are good three-point shooters, and are literally elite rim shooters, just, like, off the street?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely insane that they're just gonna let this guy walk, because he's a perfect fit next to Luka.
Literally, like, the perfect off-ball guard. Like, all he really needs to do is just take more threes, and, like, he could definitely do that if he wanted to. Like, if he just took more threes, he'd be, like, probably... He would have probably been up to, like, 18, 19 if he took more threes. But if he's just going to, I don't know, shoot 58 true shooting and, like, just be solid overall, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, like, it's they're losing out big time, and it's glorious to watch. So, next question from I Know Playing With The Gulliness. What are the best condiments? Tyrese, what are the best condiments?
Honey mustard. Honey mustard is incredible. Aiolis are great. I've really started to get like aiolis now. I just really... I don't know.
You mean just flavored mayo?
Yeah, like, it's just... it might be a Texas thing. I'm not sure, but like...
Dude, aiolis are everywhere. What are you talking about?
I don't know. The first time I had an aioli was in Texas. But, yeah, like, I don't go out.
Okay.
I don't go out. So, what else? But other condiments? I've started to like ranch more. I was a big ranch, like, enemy. I was a big ranch hater. And then, like, I've started putting ranch on, and I'm just like, you know what? Ranch is really good. So, yeah, I think it's probably my top three right now, but ranch.
Really appreciate the unintentional foresight, right? That just happened with this mailbag. It's gonna be great, guys. You'll see at the ending what I'm what I'm referencing right now. Tyrese probably has no idea what I'm talking about, which makes it even better. Top condiments are going to be relish, ketchup, and teriyaki sauce. Have fun with that, guys.
Okay, does teriyaki sauce count? That probably does count.
Sorry, so I was just trying to give terrible answers to make the people fight in the Discord. You ruined it. So no, the best condiments, though, honey mustard, you're definitely right. That's definitely up there. I guess you could say like some sort of buffalo wing sauce has to count as a condiment.
Buffalo sauce is solid, I'd say.
And then just regular mayo. Just see, like, fries and mayo. It always comes in clutch.
All right. Ketchup. Fries and mayo's a little too much.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's better than anything else.
I'll just give me the aioli. The aioli makes it better. I don't know.
That's all right. Those are the best condiments. You guys are going to have fun arguing with us in the Discord. So,
fantastic.
This is from Hug Life. Of four players the Knicks took in the 21 draft, where would you pick them in a redraft? This is from Hug Life. A redraft of 2021. A redraft of who, like, Hugs, you got to be more specific.
I'm guessing, like, so, like, all the four picks that we took, so, like, Grimes, Rokas, Deuce, and Jericho. I guess, like, is the question about, like, where would you pick them? Like, in terms of, like, where the lottery, like, are, like, where they would fall in the draft? Because, I mean, sure. I would probably take Grimes, like, late lottery, like, maybe, like, maybe not late lottery, but like at the edge of the lottery. So let's say like 14 to 20.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. He could have been picked, well, for like Moses Moody, I guess. Like, he could have been on the Warriors.
He could have been that, like, Moses Moody, Corey Kispert, Trey Murphy. Like, he definitely could have been like in that area instead of those players. I think for Deuce, you're maybe looking at like the late first. So instead of like, say, Jaden Springer or De'Ron Sharp, you could probably take Deuce around that area. I mean, I think like if the Knicks like weren't going to maneuver the draft, I'm pretty sure like Deuce would have been taken 21.
Probably.
Yeah, because I think like Grimes probably would have gone 19 and Deuce would have gone 21. So like, given the fact that like the back half of the draft, like Jalen Johnson, like the back half of the draft just hasn't played. Like, you look at Jalen Johnson, barely has played.
Herb Jones played.
yeah, Herb Jones is really good. Nobody saw that coming. If you think you did, you're wrong. I think Rokas, I know Rokas in this year's draft probably would have taken the lotto, but last year's draft, probably, again, around the same Deuce range, and McBride and Deuce probably get taken around like the late 20s to 30, and Jericho was never going to break the first round, so like him getting picked at like 58 made a lot of sense. Like, I don't see him like getting much higher, because the back half of the draft is basically just like, hey, the Knicks, this team's offering a contract. Do you want to take it, or do you want to go undrafted?
I don't know, man. I feel like after watching Sims, I feel like he could have been higher in the second round and not like borderline of you know, like unrestricted, undrafted free agent.
Right, like maybe like instead of like Nemas Queta from the Kings. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce that name. I'm not going to even try. So
just say Joe Weisskamp.
I'm not sure Joe Weisskamp. I like Joe Weisskamp coming out of college, though. I thought he was good.
I have no idea. He looks like I just saw it. He's a white guy from Iowa. So yeah, whatever.
Okay, sure. Greg Brown. No, I can't say Greg Brown. Price would hate me. yeah. He still talks about Greg Brown today in a draft chat. So I'm just like, all right, dude, you got it.
Oh, Prez. I don't even know who Greg Brown is. So
he's bouncy and he's fun.
That's great. So was Marquise Chris. How'd that turn out?
True.
All right, from ZMP323, *StarJ Barrett Enjoyer*. He has two questions for us, Tyrese. Do you think the reaction from the public to the Knicks draft night moves was skewed by how bad the reporting on those trades were? Then, how do you feel about the opportunity to cuck Mark Cuban with the pursuit of Jalen Brunson? It's wonderful. We love messing with the Mavericks.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, like literally every time Mark Cuban feels upset, I gain a gray hair.
It's wonderful.
It's just, it's beautiful. Like, Mark Cuban suffering, it's great. Like, that gif of him on Twitter, like, he's just, like, cursing. Like,
yeah,
I love that, because I'm like, that's what he feels right now. We're making him weep, and I appreciate that.
Especially because, like, he's not going to shell out, right? Like, he's not shelling out for Jalen Brunson, and he doesn't think he's that good.
It's just great.
And it's like, the whole thing is just, it's so amusing how this is playing out. It's just like, what do you mean the Mavericks don't think he's that good? It's like, he is good. Like, you're not. The whole thing is great, but
yeah, I know.
The draft night stuff. Yes, the reporting was terrible on this.
It was bad. It was very, very bad, because like we were doing it on the live stream, and it was just like, well, okay, wait. So did they trade a first? Okay, they traded their first. What did the picks mean? Like, it took like an hour and a half to get the picks that like we got back in the deal.
It was insane.
To the point where basically I was like telling Schmidt, like, if it's three picks, it's good. If it's two picks, it might be a little bit worse. And then they were like, they didn't even report the Milwaukee pick came back to us in the Kemba deal.
Nope, didn't report that at all.
Like, I basically had to like extrapolate that and be like, well, how did Charlotte and the Knicks touch in the deal?
Yes. I was saying the same thing. I'm like, I don't understand any of this.
So I'm like, okay, if the Knicks and Charlotte had to touch the deal somehow, they probably got the Milwaukee pick out of. And I'm just like, this is the most confusing deal. Like, you're telling me, like, Woj can leak whatever. Woj can leak the draft picks, like, a day before they happen. And somehow, we can't find out the draft picks for an hour and change. So
it's wild.
It literally like ruined the entire perception, because people would thought it was funny. But like, if the deal came out all at once, the deal probably gets received a lot better, because at that point you're like, okay, well, the Knicks end up with plus two in first round picks. They have three first round picks total, and they got off money. for 4 second round picks, which they'll probably recoup when they trade Burks and get Brunson. So, yeah, like, it literally would have changed the entire dynamic of it. People would have been getting their jokes off, but, like, either way, the Knicks had a good deal, so.
Yeah, I'm just, like, I'm just still to be determined on the on trade. I just want to see what those picks turn into, because that's ultimately what it is, right? It's you have to wait and see. It's a wait and see trade, because it's just like, you're punting out of the lot. It's basically you're punting out of the lottery for which guy, basically, they're trying to get. So we'll find out what that is.
Honestly, I think that, like, the pure value that they got for the deal is fine.
One thing I will say, though, like, say, like, Deuce does, like, break out or something like that, right? Like, shows he can be in a rotation, like how, like, Grimes and Jericho showed that he could be in a rotation.
Good luck. He's not playing this year.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if that happens, then you're just like, well, you already have Obi, you know, quickly, RJ, Cam, like, you have all these guys. They're just like, well, they're all in a rotation. Like, we can't just bring in another young guy. Yeah, and just, like, work with him. Like, that's...
Cam's not even in the rotation right now. Like, as currently constructed, Cam would not be playing. Deuce would not be playing. And now you're going to add a lotto pick. And then, again, it's a lotto pick. So, like, there's cachet that comes with a lotto pick. It just feels like there's too many mouths to feed. And it just feels like young guys are going to be playing against other young guys to get minutes. Because we know that, like, they're not getting rid of all the vets in one offseason. So, and the vets need to play because you want to eventually move them. So it just feels like, drafting a rookie onto this team would just do nothing except for, like, create more, like, pressure for the players already on the team and just, like, have them fighting against each other for minutes. And if you don't believe me, look at the reaction to what Quickly was getting. Like, when Quickly was struggling in the early season and people were like, why isn't Grimes playing over Quickly? That was literally happening. We saw people say, like, oh, why isn't Grimes playing? Like, Quickly should be benched. Like, people were saying Quickly should be benched because he struggled. Like, you think that's really going to be you think people are going to be like, oh, no, I love patience. I'm a Knicks fan who's patient, and I promise that, like, I understand. Like, no, they're going to be like, play the rookie. Bench whoever you need to bench. Whoever struggles. Like, this is the same people who be like, RJ should be in the G League. And, like why are we acting like this hasn't been, like, a very much a staple of, like, how the Knicks fan base operates, where, like, people are impatient, and I understand being impatient. We've sucked for a long time, so.
Yeah. All I'll say is, I remember what I was going to say. Quickly only struggled with his shot. He was literally doing everything else amazingly, which was always the amusing part, too, when he played, because, like, he was still obviously the best player despite, a shooting slump. And people still were like, he's terrible. And it's like, okay, I don't know what you guys want from me anymore.
Oh, we want him to shoot, like, 38% again. And, like, I understand that, but at the same time, like, I think where I was, like, really kind of just like, dude, okay, we get it. Like, it was, like, the Thunder game where he basically put up zeros and, like, he missed every shot he took. And I was just like, well, I get, like, you made improvements, but, like, you got to shoot the ball efficiently at some point. And he did that to end the season, which is great. But, like, I can't get mad at the dude, like, 12 games into the season. Like, it's 12 games into the season.
No, I'm with you. And then you also saw when he actually got a minute increase, the shot percentage started to stabilize more.
And then he
So you're just like, oh, yeah. Okay. It's just like you have inconsistent minutes. You have a guy who needs flow. It makes total sense, but yeah. Whatever, yeah. So there is always an argument to be like, you don't need another guy if you really believe in. Because they have what, like, there's like 5-6 people who are under like 22, 23 years old. So, like, you don't necessarily need to bring in like a 19-year-old. Like, that's another argument for, like,
yeah,
punting out. So, but all right. Okay, so this is from I Know Playing with the Gulliness. What would you use those condiments on? Oh, okay, Tyrese. What would you use your aioli, your ranch, and I forgot the other one. Honey mustard on.
I mean, chicken tenders. I enjoy a good chicken tender. Fries.
Mm-hmm.
I think with some pizzas, you could use it on some pizzas. Like, I do love me some ranch and some pizza from time to time. Then again, my pizza order is usually like a barbecue chicken sauce base instead of tomato sauce with chicken on it and like garlic crust because I enjoy barbecue pizza.
That sounds pretty good.
So that's what, like, I usually use condiments on.
I would agree with you. I use them for my chicken tenders and for my french fries, sometimes my burgers, and that's really it. Oh, hot dogs? I'll put hot sauce on hot dogs. It's great.
Yeah, honey mustard on hot dogs goes hard. Probably better than ketchup.
Yeah, the only time you want to do ketchup on a hot dog is if you mix it with like the just that generic white people yellow mustard. Then it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what you put on the, what's it called? The jorts. Right. With the New Balances. Oh, man, it's a great look. This is from Hug Life. You ready for Hug Life's question?
Sure.
Do you consider Mark Cuban a finance guru? All
right.
I don't. All do right. you?
No.
Okay.
What did Next... he done? He got lucky.
I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure he fucked up like every other investment he made except for like one, and that's the one that made him rich.
Yeah, so there you go. So no, he's not. From I know playing with the gulliness, can one gain with no pain? We've got a philosopher here, Tyrese. Can one gain with no pain?
Damn. I'm not sure. Depends on the pain. Depends on the game.
No, not the game. The gain.
I thought I said gain. My bad.
It's okay. I'm going to say one cannot gain without pain.
That's deep.
I know. It really is. Thank you. Just trying to philosophize right now. Next question. Oh, this is from Young Parvati. Shout out to Young Parvati. Could anything have gone worse than it did for the Nets since the summer of 2019? Everything. This is just great. Watching the Nets fall apart is magical.
It's been fantastic. And I just know that this is their last dance. And it makes it even better. Because when they lose in the first round again, like...
Oh, it's going to be great. Because they got suckered into paying Kyrie for a year again.
Not the best part. That's the best part. Like, literally, Kyrie Irving like made it seem like, oh, you know, I'm doing it for the team. No, he's doing it because nobody else wanted him.
No one wants him. And he's like, all right, fine, I'm going to take $40 million then. And he's not going to show up to work. It's going to be great.
Yeah, like, it's great. Like, imagine if KD just, like, wants to trade midseason after the team just, like, implodes. Like, that would be fantastic.
You know, we were talking about like the idea of like Kyrie or Kyrie leaving, and then like where should Durant get traded? Like we were talking about in the discourse, the teams we kind of came up with. I want to know what your thoughts are would be like teams that should actually go after Durant, but that's not going to be the case because the news of Kyrie. It would be Toronto, Memphis,
Phoenix,
Washington,
New York, just for shits and giggles.
No, not them. No.
I will still do it anyway. man, I get it. We're fuck KD. KD is like, I want to be a Nick. I will throw the Washington and Detroit picks into the damn fire. Give me a season of KD. I don't care.
The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code TBPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Well, Randall would have to go back.
Oh, no. Oh no!
Yeah, like, man, you're stuck in a corner. You got to trade Randall for KD.
Even if I do believe in the bounce back 30 season, like I would still absolutely trade Randall for KD. Like, let's be honest.
There you go. All right, from Son of Hope. Do you know who the Son of Hope is?
Not sure.
Yeah, neither do I. Who taught you how to read?
Phonics books. my mom, because my dad was working, so my mom taught me how to read. And then, like, I don't know, like, I guess Nickelodeon, because...
Nickelodeon taught you how to read?
Yeah, dude. Like, I would literally read a bunch of Nickelodeon books. Like,
Nickelodeon books.
Yeah, like, I was at the Scholastic Book Fair, $20 in hand, because, like, my parents were like, we go have you read in. And I would just buy a bunch of books that looked cool.
Look at that. So you judge the book by its cover?
Absolutely. I literally bought a Spider-Man book that was, like, nothing but, like, a whole picture book just because it had Spider-Man on it. I was a very, very, like, picky kid.
Look at that. I'm going to say that I don't think I actually learned how to read, given how I've been reading all your questions for the past two episodes, how I've done ad reads for the past couple episodes. I don't think I'm a good reader. So I don't know. So I'm going to say no. I don't know who taught me. No one, apparently. Okay, so I know playing with the gulliness then follows up with, and what were their favorite condiments? So Tyrese, what were your parents hooked on phonics and Nickelodeon's favorite condiments? Nickelodeon, as we know, is slime.
I think
that's
my
their favorite condiment.
I think my mom enjoys like more grant like dressings more than condiments. I don't think my mom really like eats anything that requires condiments.
But, is she a French dressing person?
Yeah, like French dressing, Thousand Island dressing. My mom's very sophisticated and very, very bougie.
When is there any restaurant you can go to and ask for like French dressing on a salad?
And I have not seen one yet. Maybe like Olive Garden?
Like, where can you go to be like, I want a salad with French dressing? Maybe a diner?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe a diner probably be more like a more mom and pop shop. And oh, even still, like, it'll probably give you like, it'll be the little thing you buy from Walmart just inside a fridge.
Oh, man. Yeah, so since no one taught me how to read, so they don't have condiments. All right, so moving on to front page, Jeff. If Tib rolls out a starting lineup of Brunson, RJ, Evan, Randall, and Mitch to start the season, how do you feel?
Bad. Put Grimes in there.
I would feel utterly disgusted.
That like the point of attack defense in that lineup is just so bad. Like, please put Grimes in the lineup.
No, it's not even that. It's... At this point, like, I think Brunson, like, going for Brunson is smart no matter what, but he really unlocks the idea of, like, just play quickly in Obi, right? And just play fast. So you have all the ball handlers. Like, it just makes the most sense just to go that route. So, like, Evan could either, you can keep him or have him come off the bench and, like, trade Randall. Like, that should be the move. And, like, that's the team. And that's the team that's going to electrify Madison Square Garden. Like, that's what you got to do. You just got to buy into quickly and Obi right now and bring in Brunson. Like, that's the energy you should be going into next season with.
I mean, like, I'll give Randall, like, a year. I want to see how he looks with, like, less usage and, like, more of a creator next to him. Because, like, I think the idea last year was, like, oh, quick, like, Kemba and Evan would make, like could combine fusion dance into, like, one decent creator, and like it, that did not happen. And I want to see what happens with like you put him next to like an actual person who could like take usage on this team, because there's no other person on this team like that. And I'll give it like, let's say, half a season. Give me half a season, and if he could like be not even 2010-5, he probably won't be 2010-5 next year, but could he be like 18-10-4? Could he do that? I think so. And if that's the case, then like I'm okay with that. Especially if he's like decently efficient instead of like being rock bottom Westbrook efficiency. I'm okay with that, in my opinion.
Your Randall agenda is disgusting.
It's not even an agenda, it's literally just me going like, hey, I think there's a decent player in here. I don't think he went away because we made him play like LeBron.
No. He decided to play like LeBron. Like, I feel like you've missed the entire
What happened with Randall?
Like, the whole thing was he was struggling with his shot. So what he did was he upped his usage and stopped playing defense. That was his response to his shot not falling. So, like, all of this is primarily on him, or you could put it on the coach who isn't discussing this with Randall to get through it. Like, however you want to say it is, that's what happened.
I mean, the coach is more of a problem than Randall, I think, but that's a conversation for another day.
It's a conversation for another day, and it doesn't really change, like, exactly what happened. Like, however you want to divvy up the blame or the responsibility or whatever, like, what happened last season was Randall's shot didn't fall. He upped his usage, stopped playing defense, and he did not delineate. Like, RJ was getting more usage, and he decided to take more shots. Like, it was not good. Like, Randall just completely cratered, and you can't have that type of bipolar. You can't have, like, in one extreme, which was literally second team All-NBA, to this, which was a complete disaster. Like, we're talking, like, sure, you're going to find something in the middle, but it's not worth it at this point. Like, it's not worth it figuring out where in the middle he's going to be. It's just not worth it now.
I would wait to see before I say no.
Yeah, can't do it. He needs to go. I am completely out on Randall. Like,
we believe in Grande's winter.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.